Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jesse Duplantis.
And I'm Kathy Duplantis.
Thank you for tuning in to our wonderful boardroom chats. People like them, and this is exciting, and we thank you. You take time out of your schedule to watch this. I want to start off with the testimonies.
Oh, good.
I want you to read a few of them, if you don't mind.
I don't mind at all.
I want you to listen. This is all from you. And everything we do on this program is designed with you in mind. So watch what people say. Go ahead, Kat.
Patricia from the says she watched the boardroom chat live from Glorious, and she says, I'm so loving watching this year's 2025 Glorious Boardroom Chat live. I love both of you from Queensland, Australia.
And we're coming to Australia. We're going to do another tour in Australia, so I hope you can come to some of our meetings. We're going to do with six services in different places all over.
Yes.
We're going from Perth all the
Brisbane,
way to Sydney.
Sydney.
Perth, Sydney, Brisbane, you name it. We're going to Melbourne. We're going to end up in Sydney.
Are we going to Melbourne?
I don't know. I have to look that up.
I'll
tell you what, we're coming.
It's going to be at the end of May. We'll give you the dates. You'll be able to see it. And hopefully we'll see you there, Patricia.
Okay.
Patricia Leslie says, amen, I love the boardroom chats, but this live one is even better. God's anointing is on both of you. Hallelujah.
Now, why is the live one better? I told you the live ones are always better because they're live.
Live and in color.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you for saying that. That really blessed us. Kathy wanted me to do that. She just finished her glorious meeting, and it truly was glorious. And she said, would you do a live boardroom chat? This is in the church. And I said, well, sure. And it was a question and answer thing. And it turned out real well.
Yes,
it was a blessing.
You're good at that, answering questions.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Yes, I am. Manoush says, praise the Lord for all the preaching. I'm growing and living a glorious life with my family. I heard Brother Jesse said both of you might be coming to in Norway.
That's what I want to do. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm trying to get this all together because we're running 90 to nothing. Let me just say this. Hold me to it. I always said, don't hold me to it. I want to go, if I can, this year. We got so much going on. I want to go to Bulgaria. I want to go to Oslo, Norway. I met a minister about 2 or 3 years ago. It was a blessing. I'd like to go back to Copenhagen, Denmark, Italy, Verona. What's the other places? And maybe Nice, France, if I can, if we can get it all put together and different things of that nature. I mean, and then... They make an announcement for the future.
And we want to go back to London and Scotland.
London and Scotland. I love Scotland. But what I want to do now, I hope I can do this at the end of the year. I may not be able to, but then I'll do it next year. You know, the Lord has blessed us with a phenomenal intercontinental jet. Now, I had an intercontinental jet before. Because Kathy has to fly one way, I have to fly another because she has to pass to the church, get back. So we need planes. Just like your wife have a car, she needs a car, and you got a car. It's the same thing. Okay, but what's happening is, and it was Kathy's idea, and it really has been percolating in my mind, you know. We want to do a around the world tour. And I got to thinking, because now we have a plane, we can go anywhere in the world, one stop. Now, that's a miracle of God. But I got to thinking, you know, because this planet is, you know, even though it's small compared to other planets, it's pretty big. I like to go around the world around the top, then go around the world at the equator, and to go around the world all the way around at the bottom of it. And get to places we've never gone before. I don't care if 2 people come or 2,000. Well, it doesn't make no difference to me. So be praying with it. It takes a lot of money to do that. Tons of money. You know, but that's all right. God's not broke. And it's going to work. But I hope we can get it all together and put it. And I want Kathy with me most of the time. But a lot of times she can't stay away that long because she's the pastor of the church over there. She has to handle it.
Over here.
Oh, yeah. That's what I said.
Over there.
Or whatever.
Over here, over there, everywhere.
I've been preaching a lot. Hallelujah. You know.
So I knew what you meant.
Be praying with us, and it's because we're coming. We're going to work it all out.
That's what she said. Please let me know when and where in Norway. I want to be there and meet you. So
amen.
We're looking
That'd be a blessing.
Eric says, greetings from your partners here in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada.
Oh, I tell you what. We had our wonderful friend, Susan Keitley. She's from that area.
Yes.
You know, we love Canada. I really do. Hey. And right now we're having a few problems, I guess, between Canada and America about tariffs and all. I don't really understand all that kind of stuff. But the Canadian people, I said this, and see what you think about this. You know, we're in the Western Hemisphere. Think about if Canada, America, Central America, South America, we'd all would just trade with each other. We'd have enough to do anything. We didn't even have to go to Europe. We didn't have to get anything. All that right there. All one mind, one accord. You don't think that would be a powerful thing? spiritually, physically, and financially. Think about that. Instead of maybe kind of combating and things of that nature, all one thing. Still be your country. That's not the issue. I mean, my Lord, I believe it would be wonderful.
Yeah, I think that tariffs are basically about fairness, which is trying to
I understand it. Now, but we don't, and
like,
I don't
like you said, we don't know a whole lot about that.
Yeah, we don't
know. We need to know more. We know a lot, but we need to know more.
Yeah, and different things of that nature. But, I mean, you know, sometimes people have to charge them because it's the only way they can make a living. And I understand that. But, I mean, anyway, think about if we had that whole swath from all the way up, from the Arctic all the way down, Western Hemisphere, all the way going all the way down, all the way down to the tip of South America.
Chile.
And we were all trading partners. Man, that's a powerful economic thing. You wouldn't have to go to the left or the right. You just go north to south.
Yeah.
You hear that, President Trump?
I don't have anything about the other people in Europe and all.
We can
do business with everybody if we do it all right.
If you can, you know.
Let's move on.
Yeah. Well, what's wrong with that? I think that's a good idea.
Okay, good.
Nothing is yours.
Jesse Duplantis, and he approved that message.
I approved that message. Go ahead, Mama.
Ben says, my favorite part of the week is boardroom chat time. Bring it on, Brother Jesse and Sister Kathy. I'm ready to be stirred in my faith, watching from Brisbane, Australia.
We're going to be in Brisbane. We're coming. Yes. Praise God. I want you to come. What else?
Yes, and they've just come through a horrible hurricane. I think it was downgraded. Yeah, cyclone. Downgraded, and it wasn't as bad as they were originally said, but it was still serious. We're praying, continue to pray.
We understand
for Australia.
That because we live in New Orleans, Louisiana, you know, and we had hurricanes, a lot of them here, too.
Yes, we're praying for you, Amen. All of those affected by that. And this is someone named Peace. I agree with Jesse and Kathy to live by faith. I listen to everything you teach concerning God's business, and I'm in partnership with you guys till he comes back.
I love you
so much, my generals in the faith. Hey, I'm a general, too.
You're a general. Hallelujah.
I didn't know that.
Look, let me say, partners, thank you for allowing us to do what we do. We couldn't do this without you. I mean, you know, I wish everything was free. I really do. I mean, but it's not. And that's okay because people have to make livings. I understand all that kind of stuff. But I want to thank our partners. I mean, because you do so much. And if you're not a partner, you pray about becoming one. 100% of what you give goes into world evangelism. We're totally debt-free. Me and Kathy have been debt-free since 1982. And it's just such a blessing of the Lord. And so if you'd like to be a partner, you can go to our JDM.org website and hit a donate button. And nothing too small and nothing too big. We got two big projects that we want to do. One is your event center. And I have to do another big hangar out there and all that, because that's a lot of money. Well, that's about $18 million between the two of them. But that's okay. I don't care about the price. He didn't ask me to pay for it. He asked me to believe for it. And God will send me the right people. And right. I do make good deals. I serve a Jewish God. I don't pay retail. You understand? I'm a negotiator, and I believe in negotiating and things of that nature. So help us today to reach people, change lives, one soul at a time. If you'd like to give, you can use PayPal also, or you can text to give a one-time donation or a recurring one if you want. And Kathy really likes the JDM apps. They absolutely go to our free JDM app. Then you can select the giving you want there. Or you can just mail in an old-fashioned check through the post office or whatever. But I hope you do something. Because I'll ask the Lord for every dollar given to this mission. Give us a soul. And it's such a blessing. So you pray about that and see what God can do. You have any more?
Nope.
That's it. Well, it's a blessing.
For today.
Since you're talking about sowing and reaping, I didn't know that was the last one right there.
Okay.
I want everybody to go with me to the book of Mark chapter 4. I want to talk about methods and places. Hmm. Methods and places. I've talked about this, I don't know if on a boardroom chat, but I've mentioned it in several sermons years and years ago. And Mark chapter 4, I don't know if you can see my Bible. It's just flat water. See how it's yellow right there? My hand. I love Mark 4 because it's the parable of the soils of the sower. And nothing happens unless you sow and reap, whether it's physical, spiritual, or financial. And I had a question given to me one time on one of my television shows. And they said, I heard you say that you keep a record of your seeds that you sowed. I said, yes. Well, how do you know which one, when the harvest comes in, how do you know which one is that coming from that seed? And I preached a sermon in 1991 called, Hey, That's My Harvest. I named my seed. Let me show you something. When I married Kathy, I named her. I changed her name from Kyrer to Duplantis. That's the way it works here in America and things of that nature. Yet she still kept her name. She's Catherine Caret de Planès. You see, I mean, even though we won, we're still two. You see what I'm saying? But name that see. And when God named Christ, he called us Christians so that we would know that we the harvest off of the seed that God sowed. Now, I want to read this scripture, and Kathy, you can get any kind of translation you want. I want to start with verse 24, excuse me, because it's very important. It says, he said unto them, this is Jesus talking, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall be more given. What does that mean? Faith come by hearing, not heard. Hearing, it's a continuous process. And when you understand that, then you'll understand it. He that hath to him shall be given, and he that hath not from him shall be taken even that which he hath, which means that person has not been hearing, so they're going to lose everything they have. Faith is a very dominant thing in the world, spiritual, physical, and financial. Now, you hear people talk about the kingdom of God. Most people do not know the definition of the kingdom of God. It's in this chapter. There's a vast difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is a method. The kingdom of heaven is a place, dealing with methods and places. You see, when you kingdom of heaven, you talk about going to heaven. Kingdom of God is God's way of doing things and being right. Let me give you a scripture for it. Now, it says this here, watch this. Verse 26, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. So the kingdom of God is sowing. Watch this. And should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed shall spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. It's not your job to make the seed grow. It's your job to plant the seed. That's why you don't know how it works, because that's God's job. Give God a job. I did a theme on that in 2024. See, it's not your job, let me say it again, to make the seed grow. It's your job to plant the seed and then accept what the harvest is. That's God's job. Now, I want you to see into this. He says it, and verse 27, it should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, and it knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle because the harvest has come. Now, why does he say immediately harvest it? Because a lot of people leave their harvest to rot in the field. You're waiting for God to harvest it. No, what you got to do, you got to get out there and go to work and harvest what's already been there, what God has caused to grow. Now, I want you to get to verse 30. It really explains it. It says, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Notice that, not the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God, a place. The kingdom of heaven's a place, kingdom of God, a method. Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, notice that what it's talking about, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it's sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs and shooteth out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Verse 33, and with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. Now you see, here's the whole, most people do not understand scripture in that manner. They say, why do you always talk about sowing and reaping? It's the kingdom of God. It's God's way of doing and being right. And when you understand that, I believe that's Matthew 6. Let me go over to that real quick. Matthew 6, verse 32. I think that's right. I want to get to Kathy. You might want to do it in the Amplified or something like that, or another translation.
Verse 33 is what it is.
Matthew 6, 33.
It's in the Amplified.
Listen to what it says in the Amplified. Then I'm going to read it in the King James.
But seek, aim at, strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right.
I'll stop right there. His way of doing and being a method, not a place. Okay, go ahead.
And then all these things taken together will be given you besides.
That's why I believe in prosperity. That's why I tell people to give. It's not just that I can get something from you, but I get you to learn to operate in God's way of doing and being right. You see, no seed shouldn't produce anything. Every seed should produce something. But the key is what kind of soil did you put it in? Whether that be spiritual, physical, or financial. How does a woman get pregnant? A man sows seed, right? Now, what does the lady do with the seed? Her body cooks it. I mean, and it's the most amazing thing. And out of that seed comes you, comes me. It's a method. You understand? Now, the kingdom of heaven is a place. You see, that's where we go. But while you're on the earth, you have to operate and function in God's way of doing and being right, which is sowing seed, spiritually, physically, and financially. That's why Satan puts great attacks against giving, because he said, if I can stop them from giving, they'll never have harvested. They will dry up. I would call it a great depression in the spirit world when you stop your giving. I've had some people say, well, I can't afford to give. Yes, you can. It's not how much you sow. And there's nothing wrong with sowing big or even sowing small. It's sowing from your heart and doing the best you can for God. And you want God to do the best he can for you. See, you say, and I like that verse where he says, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? Or with what shall I compare it? That's verse 30 of Mark 4. And it starts with, it's like a grain of mustard seed. See, so what I did, every year, me and Kathy, we increase our giving. Yeah, I remember, man, when we gave $1 and $2, we first thought we didn't have nothing. But not today. We just kept doing it. See, we wanted our faith to increase in believing in healing and miracles, but we also wanted our finances to increase so we could do more for the kingdom of God. Do more. How did we do for the kingdom of God? By giving. At that time, we were not in the ministry, see? But we gave two ministries. We gave to the church. And it was just such a blessing. And literally we realized that we were building a future beyond what we could possibly ask or think way back then. Not today, but way back then. And when you understand that, I remember one time I used to say, I'd like to do this, I'd like to do that. But I had a hard time just, in a sense, me trying to make the seed grow, paying the bills. When I should put that seed there, I always think, why is not doing it? See, you don't know how. That's God's job. You do your job and God does his job. So he taught me his method or methodology. And when you understand that, I realized that methodology will help me get to the place called the kingdom of heaven. Do you see what I'm saying? Now watch it. When we get to heaven, God's way of doing and being right is not going to stop when we get to heaven. There's a universe out there. Multiple universes now, they say. Now, a man asked me not long ago, he said, you think we're the only people in this universe? I said, well, if we are, it's sure a big waste of space. I read something this morning about the Voyager, the first human-made thing. It is now going toward the Orion Arc cloud or something. It's so far out there. It is traveling, I think, at 30,000 miles an hour, something like that. It's going to take 300,000 years to get to that cloud. Think about that. And that's just around our galaxy. We hadn't even scratched the surface, and God flung these stars with his hands. You know how I kind of picture it? You ever taken a handful of glitter and just throw it? You see it like that? But you know what? It's amazing. Once you got glitter on, it's hard to get glitter off of you, man. You ever have people say, you got glitter on your face? I don't know how it got
there. It's a speck off of something that was gold.
It's amazing. That's this creator. Painted gold. And it's just such a blessing. So maybe the reason why you're not being blessed, you're not using the method, but you're trying to get to the place. You can't get to the place unless you use the method. See what I'm saying? Method, places. See what I'm saying? And when you understand that, it's like we gotta go somewhere. Kathy, I said, let's go somewhere. Well, we got to get in a car to bring us there. We got to have something in the gas tank to get us there. Now, you see what I'm saying? Now watch this, I buy the gas, which is my harvest. The gas is actually the seed that the person that sowed it into that gas pump, so I can receive it and get to the place where I want to go. And there are a lot of people, I mean this sincerely, you're never going to get to the place unless you use the method. And when you understand that, being born again is called a method. Mm-hmm. You believe with your heart, you confess with your mouth that Jesus rose from the dead, you shall be saved. Jump in here anytime you want to, Kathy. I'm kind of preaching there because you understand what I'm talking about. So you understand? And if Kathy wants something, she gonna sow a seed. Like, I mean, Kathy likes purses. I don't think I've ever met a woman that didn't like purses. You see what I'm saying? Now, watch this.
And shoes, ladies.
I mean, yeah, shoes is something, boy. And now, watch this. I don't know how many bunches of them, how many purses Kathy has given away sowing seed, yet she keeps receiving purses. And I don't know how many times I've blessed people and helped them, and they saw me wearing sneakers because I saw it on ESPN, them guys wearing sneakers with a suit on. Now, I think I've had 30 pairs of sneakers give to me. The other day, I gave away four pairs. I mean, got so much. I got to get a bigger closet. I'm starting to feel like a woman. I got to get a bigger closet, you know, putting stuff in there. And that's, but I couldn't have done it.
Seed reproduces after its kind. You're going to get more.
Yeah, without the method. You see what I'm trying to say?
Right. Well, I have an example. I was just thinking while you were talking about that, God, the kingdom of God is a place, is a method, but the kingdom of heaven is a place. In the same sense, a good way to explain it is Washington, D.C. is a place, but the government is a method. It's how it operates. And right now, we've been seeing a lot of things in the news about the DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency.
Right.
But God also has an efficiency system, and I've recently been calling it DOME, D-O-M-E, the Government of Ministry Efficiency.
Amen.
And how Jesus, when he multiplied the fish, he told them, you know, they started out with just a small amount, you know, of bread and fish. But at the end, there was so much more afterwards, they had to gather it in. He says, go and gather it so there would not be any loss. So we are to be a good steward of what God puts in our hand. He doesn't want to see any kind of a loss.
Say the definition of the word DOME again.
DOME, Department of Ministry Efficiency. Now, Jesus was efficient.
Very important.
Very important.
Why? Your seed.
Yes.
We don't throw away your seed. We have to be efficient with it. That's part of the method, right?
Yes, but I was given the example of Jesus who led by example, and you preached a whole sermon on fragments.
Waste not,
want not, your harvest.
Your riches are in your fragments. When there was the people thought it was just pieces, but to Jesus, it was 12 baskets full. That's harvest, man.
Yeah, so they were efficient with God. God doesn't have any. We're not supposed to have any lack.
What did he tell
us? And if we're wise with the seeds that he gives us and sow it, we can expect a harvest. And then he shows us what to do with that harvest.
Well, he showed them even how to eat it. He said, have them sit down in the companies of 50.
There's order in God's kingdom.
I mean, it's
amazing. And order in the government. They're exposing a whole lot of waste because things got out of control. People weren't watching over the resources of the American people. I'm sure this happens in other nations as well, but it's so important to realize that sometimes you just got to pull things back. If you're bringing in a lot and you're not seeing results, look and see maybe where some of your seed or your harvest has been wrong. Neglected and not watched over.
Let me give you a prime example of what Kathy's saying.
I thought you wanted me to talk.
Keep talking. You're going to talk as soon as I say that. See this?
He interrupts me.
This is my
all
seed. Kathy, pull your seed up. Oh. Bring it over here. Look at the difference. You can't really see because of the black, because both of us are wearing black. Put it up higher so people can say get away from the
black.
Look how much bigger.
I think they can see.
You know why hers is bigger? She sowed more seed. She got more harvest. You see what I'm trying? And it wouldn't surprise me. That whole thing is probably full of coffee.
No, it's like right up to here.
Oh, but Lord Jesus.
When the lid's on, it keeps
either hot or cold. She don't go to bed for days.
This is our new one. This is our brand new cup for this year.
Wait, pull it over here. Now, put the white. You see how much bigger it is compared to mine. Look at the difference. See what I'm saying? Now, that's kind of funny, but it proves what you're saying. You see, the more you sow, the more you reap. Now, I know what you just thought, money. Well, don't you need more money? You live in an economic world. But how about more spirit? Huh? How about more soul? I mean, it's just you're a sowing machine because you're using God's wonderful method. And then it's taking you to the place. When Jesus sowed his life, it paid the price of the ticket for us to get to the kingdom of heaven so we could get there. And watch it. And even God said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. What did he do? He sowed Christ so he could get Christians. Now, I know you've heard this before, but I want to simplify it even more than that, see? And so keep on talking, Kathy. I know what you're looking at.
No, you go ahead. I'm looking for something else.
Okay, when you understand what that means, Let me just say this. Do you ever wear all your clothes where it's totally worn out? You couldn't wear it because there's holes in it. Sometimes that happens, but it's far and few between. Because a woman's always buying something. And the difference between a man and a woman, women have, more people notice women's clothes more than they notice men's clothes. And you know, if you think about suits, we have usually it was four colors, blue, brown, black, and blue, brown, black, and gray. But now women, they had a collage of colors and things. And I like all kind of color. I like rich colors. Kathy has an outfit that I really like. And the top of it is cobalt blue, I think that's what it is. And the pants, is this phenomenal rich pink.
Really?
You know, that when I'm talking about that cobalt blue and that, is it pink? Or is the pants cobalt blue and the top's pink? I saw a lady wearing that one time. And I thought, I like that. So I told Kathy, I said, Kathy, see that lady? You need to get an outfit like that.
I didn't like it.
But you got it? You bought it?
Yeah, but I didn't like it. I don't put it together the way she did. Well, I got my own style.
You have your own style, but you did buy it. The colors is what I'm talking about.
I like the color of the pants, so I got it, but I couldn't get the job. I had a pink suit, top and bottom pink. And the same fabric was available in the blue, and I liked the blue. But I couldn't get the jacket. It was sold out, but I got the pants anyway, and I put it with
Why was it sold out? I'll tell you why. Somebody liked it. It was a beautiful piece.
But they may not have liked the pants because it's still
Yeah, but
was
Kathy
able to
will buy something. And women mix match. Is that right? Is that the right word? They do different things. But it was beautiful. See what I'm saying? A man can't hardly get something like that. They think he's strange if he wore something like that.
Well, I don't know. I remember you had a pretty bright blue suit at one
point. I had a cobalt blue. Was it cobalt,
you think? Cobalt blue.
A cobalt blue suit. I liked it, that kind of stuff. I've always been kind of Elvis, you know. I like real bright colors, you know. I used to like the way...
flashy.
I liked the way Elvis dressed. I thought he just looked sharp. Now, some people thought he was a little gaudy or something like that, you know. But that's all right, you know. It just, you know, and it's just what you like.
Well, he was an entertainer.
Well, yeah, he's an entertainer. See, but what happened was for you to do your job, you have to have these things. Well... so you can get to the place you want to get, you got to use the method. It's just that they got something, and I don't know much about how to explain this, in Hollywood called method acting. And I think the Marlon Brando's, way back when, somebody began to teach method acting. I don't know exactly most stars.
Well, that just basically means it's a process, and it works in any realm. Like, I have a method for me when I make gumbo.
Right.
Everybody makes gumbo, has to make gumbo the same way. It's a method. You got to start with either an oil or butter and flour, and you just mix it up. Most Cajun recipes begin with a roux. R-O-U-X is how you spell it, roux. And so that's a method. Yeah. You make a lot of meals are made this way.
Everything in life is a method. When I write a sermon, I have a certain method in my outline. Kathy has a lot of people say I'm a preacher and Kathy's a teacher. You know, I think Kathy's a preacher and a teacher, and I think so am I.
Yeah.
But I can teach if you want me to just go A, B, C. You know, I like to put a little bit more flavor. I like a little bit more spice and things of that nature. I'll take a story and make it an analogy of this point. Because let me tell you something about the Word of God. It's a double-edged sword. One side cut the devil, the other side cut you. This thing ain't easy to swallow, but it's like mama... I don't think they do that anymore, and I'm so glad that children have been delivered from castor oil. Mama used to say, open your mouth, boy. Oh, God, this is the most God-awful. Do they still do that?
Rediscovered castor oil, and it's like the cure-all for everything if you watch it on the
internet. It's just the most terrible taste
and stuff.
It's pretty
good. It's actually pretty good.
Castor oil?
Not taste-wise, but you shouldn't.
Well, it's probably good for you. Yeah, I'm assuming.
It's very moisturizing.
Very moisture.
I don't know all the details about it.
I don't. Yeah.
But it is. My daughter Jody got me some for my birthday.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Is it? Will you put it on your face?
No.
You said it's moisturizing.
I did once.
Would
I put it on my lips.
Moisturize the inside of your body.
Put it on my body. Some of my, but it's sticky. So I haven't used it since.
It's still nasty.
It's very emollient.
And here's something else. In my generation, if you cut yourself, any medicine, if it didn't burn, it wasn't no good. Methylate would make a baby scream, would make an adult scream, but they had to pour it right in the cut. Yeah! But then they came out with something that was wonderful, just as good, and it didn't burn. It was called Mercuricome. I think that's what it was.
I don't know. Remember Bactine?
Get them mixed up. Yeah, it didn't hurt. Why something has to hurt to work? Well, let me tell you something. Sewing shouldn't have to hurt to work. But if you want to get to the place, you have to sow.
It is God's method. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, this is the King James Bible, says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. All of these things were God's method, and all of these things have not ceased, like cold and heat, summer. We still have summer and winter, still have cold and heat. Day and night is still there. So therefore, seed time and harvest is still there. That's God's method. That's the first gift he gave to mankind was seed in the Garden of Eden. God gave it to Adam and Eve. This is provision for you. Basically, the seed, every seed will reproduce after its kind. It's the kingdom principle. Jesus was sown, the seed of God was sown into Mary. She carried the word of God. And every time we believe on the word of God, the seed of the word of God comes within us and it grows. Man. And any seed, the only way it can grow is if it's cared for, if it's nurtured, if it has the right conditions. A seed in the natural needs water, it needs sunshine, it needs soil.
You can't make it grow. That's God's job. But you have the materials to fertilize the seed.
Yeah, and even in the scriptures, when you're talking about witnessing to someone, for example, you may be the one who sows that first seed or another seed, and someone else may come back behind you and water that seed. But the Bible says, one sows, another waters, but God brings the increase. So it's God's method, but it's our responsibility to work the method, to put it into practice, and to have faith to believe that it'll come to pass.
And see, the whole key to this boardroom chat is to get to the place, kingdom of God, method, God's way of doing and being right.
Right.
Kingdom of heaven, place where God physically lives. Now, he physically lives inside of it, but I'm talking about something that you can touch like this table, which is called heaven.
Which I just realized is that's Jesus' prayer, the Our Father prayer, or he says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want God's methods to work on earth like it does in the place called heaven.
And it does.
Amen.
Well, we're out of time, praise God. I hope you enjoyed this today.
I did.
And I mean, and it's really actually very simple to sow a seed. So let me tell you that today, we'd love for you to sow a seed into this ministry financially. If you can't, we understand. But would you sow a seed of love toward us by praying for us? Because we'll pray for you. Would you sow a seed of love to someone that maybe just needs a hug? How about a smile? The other day, I smiled at a person. I could tell they were discouraged, and it lifted their face up. They said it takes more
muscles to frown than it is
to smile, something of that nature. About that today. Let's understand, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Mm-hmm. Is as a seed sown.
Right.
It's Jesse and Kathy saying, we love you. We see you next week right here on our boardroom chats.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.